Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Monday afternoon edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right. I am the man behind the mic, your captain of this ship, Al Martin, coming to you here on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM, or you may be listening at WKAR.org, or you may be even tuned in via the live stream at Facebook.com/WKAR News. However you may be listening right now, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your day. Man, do we got a lot to get to. Gosh, and you may not hear it in my voice right now, but I'm a bit tired today. Not even going to front. You know, it's a slow Monday for me. I'm kind of like dragging my feet here today because I didn't go to bed till like 4:30, 5 a.m. I kid you not. I couldn't sleep. I don't know. You just have one of those nights. I don't know. Maybe I was still excited. Maybe the adrenaline was still pumping after watching what we saw at Belle Reve out in St. Louis. Tiger Woods is back. I'm confident in saying that now. You know, I've been saying that for quite some time this year. Starting with the Valspar, that's when it really became real for me. That Tiger Woods could legitimately compete throughout a weekend of a golf tournament. That's when I said, all right, Tiger, I think that you're going to be hoisting a trophy pretty soon here. And, you know, we've been saying this all year. He's been in contention many times throughout the tour. I mean, this is a man who was ranked like 1,190-something to start this season. Then that ranking bolstered to 51st. I'm not sure after yesterday's second-place finish at the PGA Championship. I'm not sure where that puts him now. But my goodness, this is one of the biggest sports stories of the year. It's one of the most remarkable comeback stories we've ever seen in sports history. And watching that final round, I mean, I got chills, I got goosebumps. I probably got a noise violation sitting in my mailbox right now because I'm pretty sure that, you know, my neighbors heard me screaming and yelling throughout those 18 holes of golf yesterday. I was so excited watching my man Tiger Woods rocking the Stanford Cardinal red, really give Mr. Brooks Koepka, who's unreal. Brooks Koepka is one of the best young players on the tour. Tiger Woods, at 42, gave Brooks a run for his money. So I've got a lot of thoughts that I'm going to spill out in just a moment here through your speakers about Tiger Woods and what that final round, and heck, the entire four rounds at Belle Reve in St. Louis now means for golf fans across the world. All right, you don't want to miss that. Also, we'll talk some riveting Detroit Lions preseason football. Oh, goody. Oh, goody. I'm sure our current sports PAs, Connor Mathis and Jack Kerwin, have some thoughts on this, seeing as though I chatted with both before the start of the show, and both of them, I kid you not, no, they did not have a hot date. No, they did not turn up with their homies. No, they actually sat and watched the entirety of Friday night's exhibition between the Detroit Lions and the Oakland Raiders. And I question their sanity. But hey, whatever floats your boat, we'll talk about the preseason action of the Lions and the Raiders on Friday night A few things I want to put in perspective when it comes to that game, as well as Connor and Jack will join me for that conversation. And then on the back end of the show, we will have, of course, weekend winners for you who had the best weekend in the sporting world and beyond. And I've got a loser for you all. That being Mr. DJ Durkin, head coach of the Maryland Terrapins college football team. He and his program is under some really hot water right now for a very sad event that happened last week. All right? All of that and so much more. If you would like to let your voice be heard throughout these 60 minutes of sports talk, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Check out the live stream there and comment below that video. I will do my best to get to your comments throughout this hour. And you can even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or at least shoot a brother a follow. And at least shoot our current sports official Twitter page a follow or a thought at WKAR_sports. You know what's next. Here are your quick hit headliners. A quick update when it comes to your local Michigan State men's and women's soccer teams. The number 7 Michigan State men's soccer team opened the 2018 campaign with an exhibition win over Spring Arbor 2-0 on Friday afternoon at DeMartin Stadium. In the first of a trio of exhibitions, the Spartans played 3 30-minute periods against the Cougars. Michigan State used 23 different players, including 3 different goalkeepers. Overall, MSU outshot Spring Arbor 11-5. Michigan State women's soccer got goals from junior Brittany Tanner and freshman Gia Wahlberg, along with a shutout from a trio of goaltenders in a 2-0 win over Central Michigan University in front of a crowd at, you know, pegged at 723 on Saturday at DeMartin Stadium. The Spartans finished the exhibition schedule with 2 victories after defeating Toledo 4-2 on the road August 9th. And a quick update for you all when it comes to Michigan State athletics. Soccer action will take place when it comes to our Michigan State men's soccer team, actually in progress right now as Michigan State plays host to Western Michigan right now. And we'll keep you updated on that score as the afternoon continues. All right, Tyrese Woods joined the growing list of Belleville football players to commit when he announced that he will be a part of Michigan football's 2019 recruiting class. Now, Woods is a 3-star prospect ranked as the 126th wideout in the country by 247 Sports Composite and 59th overall player in Michigan. Woods said Michigan's consistency was the key to his decision. Woods said this, quote, "It was the fact that the coaches were the most consistent throughout the process. I grew up a Michigan fan. I wanted to go through the process and make sure it was the best place for me." Again, Tyrese Woods of Belleville commits to Jim Harbaugh's football program. All right. Offensive lineman Jordan McNair sadly passed away due to heat stroke and exhaustion while participating in a team workout. And this is a story that has just sent shockwaves throughout the college football community because there's a really in-your-face ripple effect that has, of course, as you would imagine, followed after the unfortunate death of McNair. We already have been profiling, of course, the controversy out in Columbus, Ohio with Urban Meyer and his paid administrative leave. And due to the death of former Maryland offensive lineman Jordan McNair, ESPN.com reports that a toxic coaching culture under head coach DJ Durkin has been going on. Multiple sources close to the program describe past behavior of intimidation, humiliation, and verbal abuse that created a culture of fear for the players. The sources also reveal allegations of unhealthy eating habits and using food punitively against the players. It kind of sounds like you're pledging for a fraternity, doesn't it? Maryland announces two staff members were placed on administrative leave. Evans informed the team that head football athletic trainer Wes Robinson and director of athletic training Steve Nordwall were placed on leave, along with head coach DJ Durkin. So we'll have more on this story during our final segment of the day. I've got some strong thoughts on this story. Yeah, just stay tuned. Just stay tuned on that. All right. And unfortunate news here as well. Over the weekend, Grand Blanc JV football coach Pat Mulally died following a car crash over the weekend. Grand Blanc football tweeted this out on August 12th. So late last night on August 12th at 10:45 p.m. Quote, "With a heavy heart, we are saddened to pass along the news that coach Pat Mulally has passed away. Arrangements are forthcoming. At this time, we ask for prayers of support and strength. Reverend Avery will be at practice tomorrow offering comfort and prayer." So again, funeral arrangements for Mulally are pending, and we'll be following that story as it unfolds. But again, following a car crash, Grand Blanc JV football coach Pat Mulally has passed away. Okay, to less important matters, the Detroit Lions fell to the Oakland Raiders 16-10 in Matt Patricia's debut as head coach of the Lions, and John Chucky Gruden's return to coaching on the sidelines for the Oakland Raiders. A few leaders to pass along for you all. Jake Rudock led the Detroit Lions, going 12 of 19 for 84 yards behind center. And how about former Michigan State quarterback, great Connor Cook, going 11 of 19 for 141 yards and throwing one touchdown. We'll have more on Cook in just a moment. When it comes to the run game, Kerryon Johnson, 7 carries, 34 yards for the Lions. And Powell for the Lions led the team in receiving yards, 5 catches for 34 yards. We'll have more on the Detroit Lions' loss to the Oakland Raiders in preseason action on Friday night coming up in just a moment. And also, how about this? This was a cool moment over the weekend. The Detroit Tigers legend Jack Morris had his number retired at Comerica Park. Selfishly, Jack Morris always wondered what it would be like. He would come to Comerica Park in his post-playing days and look at the brick wall beyond left center field with the names K-Line and Cobb. And he never knew if yesterday afternoon would come. But now this about Morris. He always believed he deserved to be on that same wall, the same way he believed more than 15 years he deserved to be voted by the baseball writers into the Hall of Fame. And when yesterday afternoon came in the midst of a summer that had really been a blur, climaxed 2 weekends ago with his induction into Cooperstown in the Baseball Hall of Fame, Morris might have shed a tear. He did not let one fall, though, in front of a crowd of 50K on the biggest stage. But when his number 47 was unveiled for the first time underneath Hank Greenberg's number 5, he might have, depending on who you ask. So, again, congratulations to Jack Morris. It was really cool seeing him address the crowd at Comerica Park and to see his number 47 on that wall. He's a legend. He's a legend, folks. All right, and as I've just been salivating about, the PGA Championship over the weekend culminated with just really one incredibly entertaining round 4 in St. Louis. Brooks Koepka was remarkable. He was able to fend off Tiger Woods, really playing flawless golf. Tiger Woods, though, just amazing what he was able to do. It was actually, you know, his 64 was the lowest final round in a major in his career. It just kind of puts in perspective just how good Tiger Woods is currently playing. But Brooks Koepka won his third major title in his last 6 starts in the game's 4 biggest tournaments. a Tiger-esque stretch that includes victory in the past two playings of the U.S. Open and now the 100th PGA Championship. Just like Tiger was back in his heyday, Koepka is a physically imposing, supremely confident, ultra-cool presence who dismantles the toughest tracks in golf and the most star-studded fields in the game. It's really remarkable watching Brooks Koepka on the tee. I mean, he drives it just routinely over 300 yards. So Koepka gets the dub. Tiger Woods, though, really stole the show. I'll have more on Tiger Woods and his weekend in just a moment. And Kevin Harvick capped off his father-son weekend by dominating a race in putting six-year-old son Keelan in the passenger seat to hold the flapping checkered flag out of the window. Harvick broke a tie atop NASCAR's Big Three by easily winning at Michigan International Speedway for his cup-high seventh victory of the season. His number four Ford finished three-plus seconds ahead of Brad Keselowski, who is a Michigan native, his number two Ford yesterday in the Consumers Energy 400. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can join the conversation. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Check out the live stream there and tweet us at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
How many tournaments I play this year, or if I'd even play. And so each tournament brought about its own challenges. And I didn't know what the number was going to be this year. I didn't know how many I was going to play. And so at the beginning of the year, if you said, yeah, I would have a chance, legit chance to win the last two major championships, with what swing? I didn't have a swing at the time. You know, I had no speed. I didn't have a golf swing. I didn't have... You know, my short game wasn't quite there yet. You know, my putting was okay, but, you know, I hadn't played in 2 years. And so it's been a hell of a process this year. I don't know, just keep, as I said, this has been a process of building. You know, I didn't know what I was going to start this year and how many tournaments I was going to play, how well I was going to play. And as I was telling Ian, I don't know what swing I was going to use. I'm in uncharted territory because no one's ever had a fused spine hitting it like I'm hitting it. So I've had to kind of figure this out on my own. And it's been really, really hard. It's a lot harder than people think. And I'm just very pleased at what I've done so far. And now, I mean, to be part of the Ryder Cup conversation, going from where I've come from to now in the last year, it's been pretty cool.
Ah, what a day it was. What a day it was. And I think Tiger Woods' final round at Belrive out in St. Louis is part in the reason why I'm a bit tired today. I didn't go to bed till like 4:35. I couldn't sleep. You know, maybe it was because I'm just excited to be a part of this Monday edition of Current Sports. Maybe that's why as well, right? But I just couldn't sleep last night. You know, I'm notoriously known as a big night owl, but I cap it at 3. You know, 4:35, that's really pushing it for me. So I'm down in the coffee here on this Monday afternoon. I really hope that you all are having a great start to your work week. Back on the grind, back on the grizzy, as I like to say, here on this Monday, August 13th. But Tiger Woods got a few things to note about what we saw over the weekend and what we in particular saw on Sunday. When I sat on my couch and watched, and I watched, you know, stroke for stroke, hole by hole coverage of just Tiger Woods' group. I didn't tune into the CBS coverage until like late in the round when Tiger was about to finish up because I wanted to hear what Jim Nantz and the boys were going to say. But, you know, I had like the stream going on my laptop connected to my TV of just the pairing of Tiger Woods and Gary Woodland. And I'm told that on the CBS broadcast, they didn't even show. They only showed like the first hole of Gary Woodland and then like his last putt to end the tournament. Meanwhile, I was following that entire group throughout the day. But what we saw yesterday was truly historic. You know, this is one of the greatest comebacks in sports history. And it goes to show when just looking at the galleries that we saw at the 100th PGA Championship, showing up this crazy fanfare just to get a glimpse of 42-year-old Tiger Woods, who is showing that he still has game. He still got something left in the tank. When everybody doubted this man, including myself, you know, when he was going through that whole thing with cheating on his wife, and then he approached the podium and apologized, and you know, mentally Tiger Woods just was not there. And then he tried to just kind of cater to golf fans and the public by changing his personality on tour and being just Mr. Nice Guy and not, you know, cursing and throwing his club in anger, you know, kind of, you know, those things, those antics, kind of, you know, a method to the madness that was, I should say a method to the greatness that was, and we find out still is, Mr. Tiger Woods. You know, I counted Tiger Woods out at one point, you know, seeing him on that podium face the world in humiliation. And let's not forget, you know, not too long ago, I mean, after having these countless back surgeries, having one of those surgeries be a spinal infusion surgery, Tiger Woods medicating for the pain, spending most of his days in his home with the shades closed in, not being able to play with his kids, and then the video. Yeah, you know where I'm going with this. The video of Tiger getting pulled over with the cops, getting arrested. Then you have the interrogation room where he's just kind of sitting there. Just, you can tell he's on something. And we come to find out that he over-medicated. You know, taking all these drugs for his back, just over-medicated, you know, fell asleep behind the wheel. An embarrassing moment for Tiger Woods. 42 years of age, 3 weeks after nearly winning the Open at Carnoustie, we saw Tiger Woods put all of that baggage, all of that drama, this season, put all of that in the rear view. And, you know, it finalized, it culminated with one incredible scene on Sunday out in St. Louis. Woods shot a 64, his best score ever in the final round of a major. So all of you debating, yeah, it's great, but still Tiger comes up short. He doesn't finish it out and end up hoisting up the trophy, the Wanamaker trophy at the end of the day. This puts in perspective just how good Tiger Woods is playing right now. 64, not his best score, his best score in the final round of a major this year, but his best score ever in the final round of a major. Remarkable. But watching the waves and waves of people that showed up, just even watching Tiger on the driving range yesterday. I mean, you had people just out there with their smartphones recording Tiger as he just warms up. And Tiger, in my opinion, did not just live up to the hype yesterday, because I noted that he needed to have at least a 64 to push this thing to a playoff yesterday. But watching what makes Tiger Woods so great, and you can debate all day that Tiger will, and I don't think we'll ever see the kind of power that he had in his prime off the tee. I mean, he's a guy that led the tour average in distance off the tee at one time. And I think a lot of these, you know, these young players that we're seeing spark up on the tour now, you know, they've taken a page out of Tiger Woods' book. They've grown up looking up to Tiger Woods. Tiger was the first golfer to say, look, I'm an athlete. You know, I'm an athlete as well. Tiger would wake up, run, go to the weight room, eat the right things. I mean, he treated his body like he was an athlete. You know, that old adage that, you know, golfers aren't athletes, that's out the window now. Because this young wave of golfers, guys like Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, they're in the gym now. They're lifting weights now. And that's, in turn, created this wave of athletes on the tour. So, you know, now Tiger is competing against the same monsters he created. But we won't see, you know, Tiger lead the tour average in distance off the tee. I mean, yesterday I'm just yelling at my TV for him to hit a fairway, right? I mean, he shot a 64 without hitting a single fairway on the front nine. Amazing. I don't think I've ever seen that before. A golfer compete and still be in the running in a major championship when all eyes are on you. You can't hit one fairway on the front nine and still you're in the running. It speaks to how great Tiger Woods is. We may not see Tiger, the master putter that he once was back in the day. We see glimpses of it. Tiger is still a great putter, and you can make the argument right now that Tiger Woods is the best player on tour when it comes to his iron game. You know, I posted, you know, the video of Tiger Woods, who, again, he was not great off the tee. I firmly believe that if Tiger Woods would have nailed just give me three fairways on that front nine, Ty, he would have won. I firmly believe that. He had opportunities to shoot lower than 64 yesterday. But there was a moment, this is a moment that's been replayed multiple times since yesterday, where Tiger goes off the tee, hits it far left, he's on the cart path. Now he gets relief being on the cart path and gets a drop so he doesn't lose a stroke. So he's on the cart path, fans all around him. So you have this, I kind of like any time that happens where a golfer kind of hits it in the woods somewhere, and Tiger Woods in the woods, right? Hits it in the woods somewhere on a cart path, and you see the gallery kind of crowd around the ball. It creates some drama, some interesting TV drama. And, you know, fans have to be brushed out the way. And then you see Tiger Woods. Tiger had this look that was reminiscent of his dominance, you know, back in the early to late 2000s. He was locked in. He was focused. But seeing that shot after his three wood puts him in that position, seeing that approach shot where he hits it, he curved it from right to left near the cart path, nails it to within like 15 to 10 feet, I could not believe it. That's the moment when I really see it. I jumped up and kind of caught the Holy Ghost at that moment, jumped up and went crazy. And I'm pretty sure, again, I think my neighbors probably did call a noise violation on me, specifically during that moment. But that's the moment where I said, okay, he's got a real shot at winning this now. Tiger Woods is back. I mean, I got goosebumps watching that shot. I really did. And you want to put in perspective just how influential Tiger Woods is, and not even just the game of golf, but in the sporting world. Check the ratings, kid. Check the ratings. Tiger Woods, over the weekend, and even just looking at, you know, what happened on Sunday, if you look at the ratings, Tiger Woods still remains the king of golf ratings. With Woods in contention on Sunday at the PGA Championship, chasing, again, eventual winner Brooks Koepka, the event saw a 69% increase in ratings from last year. almost a 70% increase in ratings from last year. That is incredible. The final round coverage earned an average household rating share of 6.1. That's remarkable. That is mind-blowing. Just mind-blowing. And what, you know, again, you can take away and debate me on the fact that, again, we probably won't see Tiger Woods crushing it when it comes to his distance off the tee like we saw back in the day. We don't know if his putting will ever come close to the dominance that he once showed it off with back in the early 2000s that led to him blowing out fields by double digits. I still think his iron game can still, I think it's the best on tour, but it really speaks to his greatness because Tiger Woods' iron game, I think, is the best on tour right now, but it was even better back during his dominant era. You can take all of that aside, and still, the one thing you can't take away from Tiger Woods' greatness is, you know, the muscle between the ears. The way Tiger Woods mentally approaches the game. You know, that is why Tiger Woods captivated me as a young pup. And I've told this story, you know, many, many times. I mean, I'm from the west side of Detroit, all right? West side of Detroit, predominantly black area. You know, brothers weren't picking up golf clubs before Tiger Woods. You know, I tell the story all the time how my dad, who's African-American, never even thought about picking up a golf club until he saw Tiger Woods out there doing what he was doing. And I never forget the first time I went out and played golf. I mean, it's become, you know, probably my number one hobby now. You know, I'll never forget, I was in the backyard. It's kind of ironic, right? Because, you know, every inner city African-American kid either wants to go to the NFL or go to the NBA. My dream was the NBA. And I'm sitting back there, you know, practicing, you know, shooting jump shots on the garage. And my next door neighbor, who, you know, I grew up with his son, you know, real good friends, his dad sees me in the backyard and says, "Hey, man, I'm going out, you know, with my son. You want to join us? And, you know, we'll hit the driving range." I'm like, "Yeah, the driving range? What is that? I don't know what that is." He's like, "You know, golf." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm kind of bored. This is middle of the summertime. You know, why not?" And we go, and I hit the driving range, and it was awesome. And I kind of just fell in love because I love a challenge. And, you know, I remember having a conversation with Mr. Ramsey. That was you know, my neighbor back in the day, west side of Detroit, Granville and Joy Road. And I remember him telling me, you know, I never would have picked up a golf club if it wasn't for Tiger Woods, who we see on you know, Sunday after Sunday going out there and dominating the game. Looking different. Black golfer, dominating the game. He inspired so many, including myself. That's his influence. Tiger Woods, his swagger, and again, the way he thinks out on the golf course is just different. The creativity. And also, you know what Tiger Woods also did yesterday? It was he put on an exhibition of how to remain calm as an athlete when the world is watching you. When all eyes are on you. I mean, you had celebrities tweeting about Tiger yesterday. You had multiple, you know, great athletes in other respective sports like football and basketball. I saw Andre Iguodala watching Tiger, you know, and tweeting throughout the tournament. The world was captivated. And, you know, I saw a fitting tweet from former sports production assistant Darian Harris, former Michigan State linebacker, great and captain. You know, he tweeted out probably my favorite tweet of the day yesterday when he said, "This is what it's all about. This is how Sundays should be spent." Amazing. And you guys can't see this right now, but in the doorway right now, I'm staring at Brad Walker here of WKAR, and he's absolutely going crazy as I talk about Tiger Woods right now. This is the kind of influence that Tiger Woods has. And I truly believe that Tiger is going to win another major. Now, we have to wait 200-plus days because, again, the PGA Championship is the final one until next season, and we got to wait for the Masters in April of next year. But if this is a window and a peek into what we can see on the regular from arguably the greatest golfer of all time. I tell you what, these next couple of years are going to be really, really fun. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Many of you weighing in on what you saw from Tiger yesterday. I'll get to a few of those comments. And again, you can tweet us. Two ways to do so. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. We hit our first break right now. On the other side, we will talk about the Detroit Lions, the Honolulu Blue, falling to John Gruden's Oakland Raiders on Friday night out on the West Coast. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I just finished verbally pinning my love letter to Tiger Woods and his four rounds at the PGA Championship yesterday. Congratulations to Brooks Koepka, though. I don't want to take anything away from Brooks Koepka. For Brooks to go out there knowing that Tiger Woods is kind of having the kind of day that he is and those massive galleries and that kind of pressure. And again, Brooks Koepka, you know, out of the last six starts in a major that he's had, he's won three. That's crazy, right? He's won 50% of the majors he started in the last six starts. That's crazy, crazy stuff. So congratulations to Brooks Koepka. But the story is Tiger Woods. You know, and I sat there even saying to myself, what if Woods had converted that eagle putt at 17 in the third round? You know, he settles for a par there, not even a birdie there. You know, I thought for sure he was at least going to get a birdie on that hole. And you know, he, you know, ends up botching the 17th yesterday as well. You know, what if he had knocked down a couple birdies during, you know, his long dry streak, you know, when he just has par after par after par after par after par. Oh, you know, I just, you know, what if he just hits a few fairways on that front nine? What if in the first round on Thursday, he doesn't, you know, go three over bogey and then double bogey through the first two holes? So it's amazing to me, you know, when you look at those little things that could have propelled Tiger to his first major win. But nonetheless, Tiger Woods is back. Tiger Woods is back. For all of the doubters, all of those that said, yeah, but can he put together four rounds of competitive golf? Yeah, but that back, I don't trust that back. Yeah, but his putting is off. Oh, he's changing his putter? I don't think that's a good idea. For all of you that criticize, the constant criticisms out there, Tiger Woods mentally, I think mentally, is back to where we saw him back in the day. It was so fun to watch. I was like a kid in a candy store. I mean, this might have just produced on Sunday the most, what, non-championship sports season since like the 07 New England Patriots lost their bid for perfection in the Super Bowl. I think it's that big. I mean, just think about it for a second. In the world of sports, can you look at what Tiger Woods is doing right now and what he did over the weekend and give me another example of the most dramatic non-championship sports season since maybe the 07 Patriots? I'll wait. Think about it. That may be that's a kind of a deep question. You kind of got to reminisce, you know, the past 11 years about that, you know? So, again, what are your thoughts on Tiger Woods? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Ben comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News and says, I definitely see Tiger winning another championship in the near future. I completely agree with you been on that. And I see a major coming. I do. And I think when he does win that major, we have to open the conversation up again, you know, whether or not he will ever catch Jack Nicklaus, you know, who's held down that coveted major championship win record for a long, long time. We have a poll up courtesy of our current sports Twitter page at WKAR_sports. Is Tiger Woods back? Simple question. Is Tiger Woods back? Right now, we've just got two votes. One vote for he's back, baby. One vote for ignore, see results. No votes for no. So if you want to chime in there, Scott Little tweets us directly and says he has the eye of the tiger back. Thank you, Scott, for weighing in on Twitter. We also have a caller on line one. My man, 50 grand, Ray from Indiana. Ray, pretty fun weekend for Tiger Woods, huh?
That's the luckiest 64 I've ever seen in my life, buddy. I'm going to tell you why, okay? I'm going to tell you, he's the greatest scrambler of all time. But on the first nine holes, he couldn't even hit an iron off the tee. Every shot was out in the rough. And every shot, there were so many thousands of people in St. Louis, they trampled the grass down where he had a clean shot to the green. On that one that he hit out of bounds over the water, that's another lucky break because he just missed the water and he could chip it back on. You can't tell me he didn't have a bunch of breaks in that round, too, and he had like three or four. I'm going to tell you, his putting did terrible Saturday, but Sunday his putting saved him.
Yeah.
He had three or four 20-footers he made, every one of them, for birdie or par.
I know. I'm completely with you, Ray. That's the thing. I mean, he's got to figure out. If Tiger Woods wants to take that next level and win a major, he's got to figure out that, you know, hey, I got to hit fairways, man. You know, I can't be going left and right, and it can't be a crapshoot every time I take out my driver.
He got away with it Sunday because all the rough was scrambled down because there was so many 40, 50,000 people.
He had some favorable lies.
The grass down.
Right.
But he ain't going to get away with that on a lot of the majors.
Right. He had some favorable lies without a doubt. And that's the thing, though. I mean, Tiger has never been, if you look at his career, Ray, Tiger has never been accurate. Really, really accurate off the tee. I mean, what made Tiger Woods so great and what makes him great is his recovery shots. I mean, those approach shots that we see highlights of all the time when replaying his dominance over the years, Tiger Woods is still showing that he can pull off some miraculous stuff. And he was so
close. You know where Tiger got beat? That guy drove the ball 340, 350 off the tee every time. And he had ice in his veins because Tiger put a lot of pressure on him. I'll admit, Tiger had one that rimmed out, and he had one right on the lip that could have fell. One more roll, and that goes in.
Right.
So there was breaks both ways, and, you know, you're right, he started three over, but, you know, that other guy was two over after nine holes, and he ends up winning the championship.
Yeah, bro, and that's the thing. I mean, and Tiger noted that as well. I mean, it's a clear advantage for guys like Brooks Koepka who can knock it, you know, 300-plus yards off the tee and then, you know, knock in a short approach. So, yeah.
350 every time, 340, 350, and I'm accurate most of the time.
And I tell you what, if Tiger can just figure that driver out and just – because, again, whenever he was on the tee, anytime he took out the driver, I was getting nervous. I'm like, come on, man, just stick to your driving iron, you know, or stick to that three wood. Please don't take out the driver. And it's a crapshoot where that thing is going to go. He had some great shots off the tee with the driver, but for the most part, he's inaccurate. That's got to change, though. But nonetheless, I mean, Tiger Woods is still the guy in the world of golf.
I never thought he could make this kind of recovery.
Nobody did. It is one of the most.
He's had four back surgeries, a knee surgery. But you never know when it's going to go out on him either. He doesn't know, and neither does anybody else, when it could collapse on him, too.
I'm telling you, and I'm hoping that it doesn't anytime soon.
I know, you know how hard it is on your back to play golf like that?
It's incredible. You know, I got a friend of mine who has back issues, and he can't drive. You know, he can't drive off the tee, and he just plays the short game. You know, so
you know what Tiger had to do on Saturday? He had to play 27 holes
right,
or something like
because
that.
Because of the rain delay that happened on the second round.
Yeah, I don't know
exactly
how he did it. I don't know how his back's holding up like that.
Amazing. An amazing weekend.
That must be the greatest back surgeon of all time after four surgeries it finally worked. I mean, whoever give it to him, I mean, they should get millions of dollars.
You can say that again, my man. And I don't know if you saw the story earlier this year on the tour, but fans of Tiger Woods actually got Tiger Woods' back surgeon an edible arrangement for getting Tiger back on the golf course. So that was pretty cool. Ray, we got to keep it pushing, though, man. Thank you so much.
That was unbelievable. He's made an unbelievable return.
He has. It's fun. It's one of the stories of sports. Thank you so much. Thank you so much,
all
Ray.
Buddy.
All right, if you want to weigh in, just like my man Ray from Indiana just did, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, let's talk some football right now. Got to get to your Detroit Lions, the Honolulu Blue, before we bid you all adieu. Connor Mathis, Jack Kerwin, both of our fantastic current sports PAs are going to join me for this conversation, because I tell you what, you guys have more insight than me, seeing as though both of you stayed up into the wee hours of the morning on Saturday morning as the Detroit Lions fell to the Oakland Raiders. John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders on Friday night. Before I give you my thoughts, we'll start with Connor. Just thoughts on what you saw. And again, take it with probably 50 truckloads of salt, because again, it's preseason NFL football. But Connor, your takeaways from what you saw on Friday night.
If I were a Lions fan, I'd be really nervous about that defensive line, because it looked sorry as anything. The starters, the secondary that was coming in afterwards, the Marshawn Lynch run, that Marshawn Lynch is not the fastest running back in the NFL, and the Lions made him look like he was Usain Bolt. It got called back from a holding penalty. But then there was also another stat that I'd heard for the entire game. The Lions pass rush hit the quarterback once the entire game. That's with first stringers, second stringers, third stringers. That is inexcusable. That's, if I were a Lions fan, that would be my biggest thing I'm nervous about, is the defensive line and the pass rush getting to a quarterback, getting into the backfield, because it did not look good at all. The silver lining, though, to that game is I think they're finally starting to get a running back situation going. Like, it's not going to be, I don't think it's just off of one game, I don't think it's going to be like a top half of the league type running situation, but it's probably going to be better than last year, because it looks like they actually got some things going.
Well, again, you know, you got LeGarrette Blount, you know, who came off the field, but he got extensive work, I believe, in the second quarter. And, you know, looking at Amir Abdullah, he finished the game, again, 4 rushes, 16 yards. He did score. You know, he did, you know, he had a touchdown in that game. But I'm hoping that, you know, we can see just some consistency in the run game, because that's the thing that's been missing, clearly, from this Matthew Stafford-led offense. But, again, I think that's the biggest takeaway when you discuss the defensive line. Yeah. I mean, lack of gap integrity when it comes to that Detroit Lions defensive line. We've been harping on this for a long time. That starting defensive line got pushed around in both the run and the passing games. And for this defense to work properly, the guys up front have to be able to hold their ground, and they really struggled to do that on Friday. So I'm sure Matt Patricia is going to be stressing that throughout practice this week. Jack, your takeaways from Friday night and what you saw from the Honolulu Blue.
So one game into the preseason, obviously, it's a little too early for me to be freaking out too much. But in regards to what Connor said, I think a big thing is Ziggy Ansah didn't play that game. So, I don't think the pass rush is going to be great this year, but it also isn't going to be as bad as we saw on Friday, I don't think. But, you know, it's a little too early for me to be freaking out. I also think the scheme was very vanilla from a defensive standpoint. Like, we weren't really sending any exotic blitzes or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too worried about it, just because it's the preseason. You know, no one's really doing anything creative from a schematic standpoint. But I think Connor brought up a good point, too, that, you know, I think Lions fans should have high hopes for Kerryon Johnson this year, and I think the running game should be improved. But it's hard to take a lot away from the first game, just because, you know, first preseason game and not a whole lot going on from a schematic standpoint.
That is true. And speaking of Connor, how about Connor Cook, former Michigan State quarterback? Great. Arguably, you know, you look at Connor's numbers, arguably the most decorated quarterback in Michigan State history, to be honest with you. But, you know, I was impressed with Connor Cook. Now, again, we all know that Derek Carr is the guy when it comes to the black and silver out there. But, you know, Connor Cook did look pretty sharp. Now, again, it's against the Detroit Lions defense. It is in preseason. But, you know, reading reports throughout preseason training camp about Connor Cook, he's making progress, and he has been impressive. He really has. You know, he led, what, 2 scoring drives, in a 16-10 win over the Detroit Lions. And, you know, I thought that when Connor was in, he kind of demonstrated confidence, composure, that he really lacked during, you know, that turnover happy spring that he had. He completed 11 of 19 passes for 141 yards and a 7-yard touchdown to wide receiver Ryan Switzer. Fellas, do you think that Connor Cook is going to get maybe a shot at some point in his NFL career of maybe landing an NFL starting quarterback job?
I think so. He, like, just watching the game, he looked a lot more comfortable. And granted, his only other real start came a couple of years ago when he went to the playoffs and he played the Texans, and you could tell he was uncomfortable. They were just beating him up. Mm-hmm. But he looked good. He looked good this last game. He looked composed. It looked like Michigan's a little bit more like Michigan State Connor Cook. It was like a couple of times it was like third and a prayer, and I was just sitting there to myself, I'm like, oh, he's got this. This is easy for him. And then he connects with like the tight end, or he hits whoever he needs to do. But you know, I think he's making good progress. I think they mentioned it during the broadcast of the preseason game that he is, especially after the game he had, he is probably going to overtake EJ Manuel, which is already a big step from last year where,
that is.
You know, after the, or a couple of years ago, after that playoff loss that the Raiders had to the Texans, he got put down a third string. And EJ kind of took over the job for him, but now it looks like he's gonna run away with the second string job. I mean, you never know too with Derek Carr. He's had a couple of injuries and things like that. And if the last couple of years in the NFL have proven anything, you literally just need one game. If Connor Cook comes, even if it's against a terrible team, mm-hmm. if Connor Cook comes out and fires on all cylinders for one game, one half, whatever it may be in the regular season, I think you'll definitely see some teams kind of inquire into when that deal is up.
Yeah, again, it's the NFL. It's a sport where one play could really change things, and one play could open opportunity for the guy in back of you. And if Connor Cook becomes that second guy in line for the starting quarterback position for John Gruden's team, I mean, who knows what can happen. Your thoughts on Connor's outing on Friday night, Jack?
Yeah, I'd go off what Connor said. I hope that Connor Cook's given another opportunity to start. Just maybe even one game, because as far as I'm concerned, he's the greatest quarterback in the history of the school. And I think it's a good point Connor brought up. You know, Cook was a rookie when he played the Texans, I believe. And he certainly did look a lot calmer. He had better pocket presence, I'd say, last night. And he appears to have taken steps. And I mean, you know, it kind of worked out for Kirk Cousins that RG3 kind of dropped off a little bit and Cousins was given an opportunity. So I hope, objectively, I just hope Cook is given an opportunity to start a game at some point, whether for the Raiders or elsewhere.
Definitely. Yeah, we'll see. Only time will tell. All right, fun question here before I dive into our final segment discussing this whole DJ Durkin situation out in Maryland. Week one of NFL preseason action is in the books. I'm not a big fan of NFL preseason football. I don't know why they have to play these preseason games. I just adopt a college model and just get right to the action, but that's neither here nor there. With that being said, biggest overreaction of NFL preseason week one. What do you think is the biggest overreaction? There's a lot to choose from. I tell you that, Connor. I'll start with you, Connor. What do you think?
All right, I have a tie, and this is really this was awful. People already saying that Rosen is done because when he was in, he was getting brutalized. He had like 3 or 4 bad snaps to him, and people were like, "Oh, he's just terrible." This is everyone was saying this was absolutely terrible move for the car. Like that was crazy. He had a couple of bad low bad snaps, a couple of drop passes, and yeah, there were a couple times where he threw it badly, but he had a guy in his face. So I mean, If you're a Cardinals fan, don't stress, because I think, and also he played a decent team. I mean, I wouldn't stress too much about Rosen. The one that really is getting under my skin is they have anointed Sam Darnold the Messiah of New York.
Yeah.
And I think he didn't play as well as Teddy Bridgewater did. So I don't really understand why he after one game and after having a, by all means, like a pretty straightforward game for playing first game preseason, why he's all of a sudden the best thing to happen to the New York Jets since Joe Namath. I don't really understand that one at all.
Right.
And it just doesn't make sense to me.
It happens every year. These overreactions, man. Yeah. All right, Jack, if you had to peg one or two, man, what is your take on the biggest overreaction of NFL preseason week one?
I'd have to say it's the Baker Mayfield hype. I was almost going to go with Saquon Barkley based off of like his first carry where he gained 40 yards and people were talking about how he's like the next Barry Sanders.
Right.
But I guess it would be Baker Mayfield just because people were going nuts over, you know, his ability to extend plays and his touchdown pass. But like,
right.
I think he finished 11 for 20 or something. Like his completion percentage wasn't great, you know.
Right.
And Tyrod Taylor alternatively had like a great game. So
5 for 5 for Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was going there. I mean, Baker Mayfield, the fan fear surrounding around him, people saying that, yeah, just fit him for a gold jacket right now, baby. I mean, let's chill. You know, I gave my rant about that last week. And also I got kind of like you, Connor, I got a tie. It's between the Baker Mayfield story and the overreaction there with his performance, and also that this new helmet rule in the NFL is going to ruin the game. I do think that we're going to have 1 to 2 calls every week where you're just sitting there and saying, huh? I'm confused. And I think they made it way too, kind of like the catch rule, you know, that they've gone to, you know, back to simplicity, which is good. I think it's a bit overcomplicated, but I do like the fact that the NFL is taking some initiative here and trying to make the game safer. At the end of the day, that's what's most important. I don't think this is going to ruin your NFL season, NFL fans, all right? We were just 90 seconds left here. We'll lead our show with this tomorrow because I think that this is a story. DJ Durkin being on paid administrative leave now as head coach of the Maryland Terrapins college football squad due to the death of offensive lineman Jordan McNair, who was hospitalized after showing signs of heat stroke. McNair passing away at the hospital at the age of 19 years old. I think there's a bigger conversation that needs to be had here when discussing the health of athletes today and this macho mentality that we certainly take overboard sometimes. So tune in to tomorrow's Current Sports for that. We'll also have some thoughts from head coach Mark D'Antonio from Michigan State preseason training football camp. As Mark will talk to the media tomorrow. You don't want to miss that and so much more. Until then, we thank you so much for being a part of this Monday version of Current Sports. We are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.